Jupiter Broadcasting presents this show in mega stereo sound. This episode brought to you by the extreme folks over at GoDaddy.com.
This week on the Linux Action Show. Perched on our front porch and ready to spring into action, we review GNOME 3.0. Are the punk kids making a mess of our lawn? Or is this the future of desktop Linux? We discuss. Then we give away $1,000 in software. And so much more! All this week on the Linux Action Show! And welcome to Linux Action Show Season 16! I kid you not, 16 seasons of awesome. This is episode 5. This is halfway through 16 seasons. And my name is still Brian.
Hey,
that
there.
Guy is Chris.
Brian?
Hi, Christopher.
Guess what?
What's up, Chris?
Mother Russia will soon be running Linux. That's
like,
right, Brian.
Like the mother or like the whole country?
The whole freaking, well, government side of the country. By 2012, all
is
the way...
Wait, isn't, like, Russia, isn't everyone the government? I thought that's how it worked or something.
Not anymore, man. Jeez, that's old school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's old school, man. But check this out. This actually came from the top itself. Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how it's said.
Vladimir Putin.
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 He signed into paperwork that effectively beginning in 2012, the federal government will be moving to Linux-based systems with a target goal of being done in 2015.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what are they going to run?
Linux, a Red Hat, not a Red Hat, but a Red Hat variant, I believe, of their own.
That's rad.
They're coming up with their own distro, which is
that's awesome
out there. The whole idea is to reduce dependency on foreign corporations and to reduce, ready for this?
Ready.
Taxpayer dollars spent. They're actually, anything that's federally funded is gonna need to use open source technology.
You know what that is?
Huh?
A giant duh.
I know. That's,
I mean, great. I got to give props to Russia here.
Yeah.
It only took like 40 years of James Bond kicking your ass, but you finally switched to Linux. Because that's all James Bond was after that entire time is, why didn't you guys switch over? You
right?
guys wouldn't do it.
Right.
First you were like, no, I'm going to run CPM on all of my stations.
Silly Russia.
Seriously, CPM guys? Not the right decision.
No.
Then DOS, then Windows, come on. And then there was that time in the 90s when Russia was like, I'm hip, I run a Mac. Mm. No, wrong. Mm. Now they run Linux. That's great.
And remember and how yet, Russia would go on and on about how amazing OS S2 was. There was a period of time where, right? That was obnoxious.
Well, it does have compatibility with both DOS and Windows applications.
Yeah,
you can run them side by side.
Super stable.
It's seamless. But seriously, Russia's doing it.
Yeah.
America?
Come on, America.
Maybe. Everyone else? What's your deal?
Maybe we'll have a tech race like we had the space race.
What's your McCheeseburger?
And we'll get our S's in gear. So this is
that
pretty
would
cool.
be great, a tech race.
That would be.
Yeah, the Linux race. The first to fully have Linux top to bottom.
Yeah.
I think we can do it, America. Get your beans in a bowl.
So here's an interesting thing is it
That's
seems
a
like
saying. I just quoted right there.
Beans in a bowl.
I meant it. Yeah, get your beans in a bowl.
That's
a new saying.
Well,
it makes
first
sense
of all,
now.
Beans on a plate, they go everywhere.
They
That's
go
a mess.
Everywhere, right?
You get beans in a bowl, you got the situation contained.
You know what the
by
sad,
definition.
The sad thing is though?
What?
I still put beans on a plate sometimes.
Oh, well, sure.
I run out of bowls.
Well, and when you're eating barbecue, you're not just going to dirty a bowl just because you want beans with your barbecue.
But there are going to be beans everywhere. It's going to be all over your cornbread. No, it's going to be all over
your... You plan accordingly.
Yeah.
You get the right cornbread and the right bean sauce. You can get a little bit of bean sauce on your cornbread. That's not necessarily a bad thing, in my opinion.
Hey, Chris, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, Brian.
What show are we doing right now?
The Beans and Barbecue Show.
Nice show.
Barbecue Action Show.
All right, let's
man.
Keep going.
All right, so moving on. My last comment on this is there was some sort of underground rumoring that maybe possibly this is due to the fact that Microsoft has been riding Russia's butt because Microsoft software is super pirated in the motherland. It's bad over there. Piracy runs rampant.
There's been some issues where Steve Ballmer's been riding Putin's butt.
Yep. Riding Putin's butt.
That's,
Ballmer comes in and he's
that's
just
rough.
Like,
that's rough riding right there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So coming up in this week's episode, we have too much show. We've overdone it. We made a mistake. We said, let's do all this stuff, but we're just going to go for it.
Dude, we have too much in every show lately.
I know.
We went through a dry spurt. I don't remember if it was season 15 or 14, but there was a time when there was like 3 episodes in a row. And
like,
if you look through our catalog, you can see when it happens. We're like, there's no news. There's nothing happening. There's no new releases.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like a really stale month.
It happens.
And now, big releases,
yeah.
big news, big stuff is going on.
Yeah.
It's,
I like this better. I've decided.
Yeah. So we've got, we're going to talk GNOME 3.
Yep.
We're giving over $1,000 worth of software away today.
Yep.
Which is pretty epic.
Super epic.
We've got a ton of news coming up. And before we get to all that, we've got an Android pick and a Linux desktop app pick, right?
Yes.
Should we jump into the Android pick right now and just get
Let's
that out
it.
Of the
Let's
way?
Let's do it.
Because not everyone out there is an Android user. Brian.
Psh, nobody is.
But this
Android's all stupid.
This pick this week is not an app, it's an operating system. And think of it like a distribution of Android for phones. And that means everything that installing a distribution means. It means wiping out the phone, you know, back to factory defaults, loading a clean OS, yeah. All that kind of stuff. Not as painful with Android, because once you sign in, Android can resync a lot of your settings. So
it's not so bad.
You're not committing phone suicide here. This distribution, let's call it, of Android is called CyanamoD or CyanogenMod. I don't know, Cyana or something like that.
CyanogenMod.
I've been running it for a long time. And the way I do it is I rooted my Evo. I went out and got a piece of software from the marketplace called ROM Manager. And then it takes care of downloading new ROMs, flashing recovery space for me, installing those ROMs. And I can just go out and, a new version of my CyanogenMod's out. Hit that button and download it.
That's cool.
Super easy once you've done the legwork there. And what it gives you is Gingerbread, so the latest version of Android, the 2 branch, just before Honeycomb, that's available for phones. And it is significantly faster than Froyo, and it has significantly better battery life. I went from having a 6-hour phone to now having a full day phone with my Evo.
Really?
Evos are kind of known for having bad battery.
Super bad.
And this turned it into a full day phone for me. So that's awesome right there.
That's impressive.
It also has better process management and gives you better tools. Also has kind of a new updated, more Windows 7 kind of phony look to it. A little flatter, a little more, you know, flat text, but it's clean. It's good.
They
also have a metric S-ton of devices they support. I mean, along with my Evo, look at all these.
Oh, wow.
Look at all these Android
devices. You can throw
the
Nook on it.
You can put it on the Nook. Yeah.
Honestly, that's been tempting to me right now.
Yeah, right?
The Nook and the ViewSonic tablet have both look pretty slick.
I know.
Especially the Nook, honestly, just because of the price. I know it's slow, and I know the Nook Color is not meant to be a fast-performing, awesome tablet, but it's so cheap.
Yeah.
Decent battery life. I've been really tempted to have
Even
it just as a comic book reader and things like that.
A comic book reader, an IRC client, and, you know, with its good
battery. Just something to have around, and it's cheap enough. Honestly, you can go down to, you know, Best Buy or whatever and get one of those for like 11 pennies, I think, right now.
And now you can put Gingerbread 233 on there, or whatever it is.
Yeah, so it's really up to date. You can throw on the Amazon Marketplace, so you can install all your commercial apps.
Totally.
So there's no barrier there,
yeah.
And it's cheap enough that you feel kind of comfortable just like taking it to a restaurant and throwing it on the table. Like, it's not that big
a
deal.
It's in that price range that, it sucks to lose it, but if you do lose it, you're not out a $600 tablet.
But, if you break it, honestly, you could break 2 a year and feel pretty okay about just replacing it every 6 months.
Yeah.
It's not that
it's
huge
already,
of a deal.
It's already an Android device. You're just putting a newer version of the Android OS on it.
I've been tempted.
I'll put a link in the show notes, but go check out CyanogenMod. It has breathed new life into my Evo.
That's awesome.
And it just reached the stable release for the Gingerbread version. So that's really good stuff.
That's super cool, really.
You know, B-Man, before we go on, we've got an Android, or we got our Linux desktop pick, but first we got to say good morning to Danica over at GoDaddy.com.
Well, you know, and the great thing is, if you buy a domain name from GoDaddy.com, Danica herself probably types it in, I think. I think what happens is you type in the, the words, type in I love Danica, and Danica runs Linux.com.
I'm going to go with Linux is super powerful.
With lots of L's. That's very good.
Yeah.
So you register that one. Then what happens is a bunch of people run with that written down on a note card over to Danica. Danica's like, this is a great domain name. Types it in herself. Boom. You have a domain name.
Yeah.
And then, you type a little coupon code that says Linux in all uppercase. You save 20%.
Dude.
And that makes Danica smile.
Linux saves you 10%. Linux 20 saves you 20% on hosting.
Oh, that's right. That's what it is.
I know.
Either way, Danica smiles. And who doesn't want to make Danica smile?
Well, I sure do. I would.
Boom.
I'm just saying.
Boom.
So thanks to GoDaddy. Linux 10%. Put that right there in the box when you're checking out. Linux 20 if you get some hosting. If you get some hosting, get some of their Linux servers because they are pretty good. They got a ton of them.
They're not too shabby. No.
All right, Brian. Tell us about your app pick.
All right. So this is day number 2 of the Linux app pick. We are augmenting.
Week number 2.
If you missed, it's also saying. The second day.
I mean.
It's also the 7th day, I guess.
Yeah.
Man, that's rough.
I know.
Calendars just throw me for a loop sometimes. So Android is great. Again,
sure.
though, I don't run Android.
No.
Most of you guys, I mean, a lot of you guys do, but come on.
It's not
Android
Linux.
Is lame. This guy over here, he's all like, Android, I'm installing a new Android ROM, whatever.
I like Android ROMs.
Yeah, with your talking and your words and your mouth.
But they're awesome, Brian.
I run Linux desktop. So here's the idea.
Okay.
I'm going to reiterate this just so everyone's got this.
Put it in our face,
we're gonna
Brian.
We're going to pick Linux apps, one per episode.
So like, Linux apps,
desktop Linux apps, regardless of the, you know, what widget set it uses, no matter if they're GNOME or KDE or what. It doesn't matter what.
These are apps, just so I follow, these are apps that run great on my Mac. Right? Mac apps? We're doing Mac app picks? No? No? Oh, man, I just don't get it, Brian. I'm sorry, man. I just don't get it.
The longer I don't talk, the more uncomfortable Chris gets, you guys. And that is phenomenal.
It's a good thing I have this close-up camera where I can just put it on you.
All right. So the idea here is, though, we're not just going to randomly throw out Linux apps. They're going to be the best in their particular category. The app that is the most interesting, Ooh. The app that is the most exciting, the app that runs the fastest, that's the sort of thing we're going for
okay,
here.
Okay, I like that.
So today, we're going to pick an app that not very many people are going to use, but is an important and critical app for the really super nerdy out there, especially those who were kids in the 1980s.
Oh.
SyncTerm.
SyncTerm, Brian.
Now, here's the down low.
I got to say, their website is not super impressive in terms of a show
visualization. You know what their SyncTerm looks like? Their SyncTerm website
kind of looks
like it came from the early 90s.
That's okay, though.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think it's been updated since the early 90s.
Here, I got a screenshot. Here's a screenshot of the... So there's your BBS running SyncTerm.
Running SyncTerm.
It looks nice and sharp.
Yeah. It's SyncTerm is great. It's a great little command line application for connecting to BBSs.
Yeah.
Old school Telnet bulletin board systems. It's got full support for all the ANSI emulation and the Z modem compression protocols for transferring files
Good
around.
Old Z modem.
Which, come on, who actually uses Z modem anymore? Nobody. But in case you did, SyncTerm supports it. The thing is, if you want to partake in those old retro-y goodness, if you wanted to partake of the old BBSs of the world, which I'm obviously into, if you go to my website, lunduke.com, you can find info on my little BBS that I keep going on here. But if you want to use it, this is the way to do it. No application will make it look better. No application will run better.
Oh,
this supports everything and is fantastic and is just kind of the end-all, be-all of connecting to old-school BBSs.
Right.
And I know what you're saying, but Brian, that's not that exciting. That doesn't have 3D.
Well, okay.
I disagree. It has 3D.
In your mind.
Right up here.
Yeah.
Right up here, it's all in 3D.
You gotta imagine you're the 3D.
So anyway, if you guys are text lovers and you love the old school stuff, SyncTerm's the way to go. The best in its class. Honestly, I use SyncTerm for a lot of general Telnet type stuff.
And of course, we'll have a link in the show notes, but if you're just listening and you want to know the URL, it's syncterm.bbsdev.net.
Totally awesome. Totally rocking. If you go over to lunduke.com, I also have links on the sidebar for BBSing. You can find more information about SyncTerm.
There
you go. Rock and roll. Chomer Shabbos.
Hey, one more thing before we jump over to the news. I know we've talked about it for a few episodes in a row, but it's Linux Fest Northwest coming up.
The 30th?
It is the 30th. So the next weekend where we'd normally be doing Last Live, we're going to be at Linux Fest, right? That's next weekend. Right?
No.
No? One
more. It's
one
more. 2 weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks
away. 2 weeks away. Next weekend is a normal show.
Yep.
Nothing changed there. If we're in Bellingham, it's an accident. The weekend after.
My accident, most likely.
Yeah,
sounds like.
April 30th and January, February, March, April. May 1st.
Yes.
That's the weekend there. Linux Fest Northwest. We're going to be there with the Linux Action Room. We're still getting a lot of the stuff worked out.
No, it sounds like we kind of decided we're going to do live our Ubuntu 11.04 review.
On Saturday.
On Saturday.
The 30th.
The 30th. And if you're going to be at Linux Fest and want to get your little bit of your mind on Ubuntu's new release on camera.
That's the place to be.
Stop by and let us know. We're going to have an open mic and get people's opinions from the audience while we shoot the review.
It's going to be pretty rad.
That'll be the fun. I think that's going to be the most fun we've done in a desktop review in a long time.
I think it'll be great because we're going to get a lot of people talking about it. And here's the unfortunate fact of the matter. We have a lot of fans in the area. They're going to be there. But most of them don't run Ubuntu. Like, we have a couple of hardcore OpenSUSE guys.
Yeah.
We got one or two hardcore Arch guys.
And Fedora guys.
Oh, we got some Fedora guys that are right around there.
Yeah.
I don't actually know of that many Ubuntu users, and this is just a random happenstance, in that particular spot that go to Linux Fest Northwest.
I'm trying to think of back over our past Linux Fest visits. I think you're right. I can't.
I think we're going to open up the mics, and it's going to be just a bloodbath. We could be like, Ubuntu 11.04 is the best thing since sliced bread, and everyone's going to get up on the mic and just start harshing on
Unity,
which is going
to
be fun.
Unity has got some controversy around it, so I'll be curious to see what people say. So that's one of the things, and then we'll be shooting a whole other regular Linux Action Show on Sunday. So that's the Linux Action Show.
It's a lot of Linux Action Shows. And, of course, if you're there, beer and burgers at some point. I mean, we're going to eat burgers, and we're going to drink beer, and you can probably join us.
Yeah, well,
I'm just saying. If you can find us, which you'll be able to, because we're in a room, you can join
There's
us.
Also that brewery up the street that makes their own pizza and then cooks it in the wood fireplace.
I do like pizza in a fireplace.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, so we can have that. Yeah.
We're going to have 2 days to fill. Yeah, and
oh,
five
my gosh.
Meals.
And that's like a lot of beer drinking.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But it's all good beer. You know what else is good? The news, Brian. Let's do the news.
What's new in the news this week?
All right, Brian. Our top story on the news docket for this week. The Humble Indie Bundle has returned. The Frozen Bite Edition.
Yeah. This is the third time they've done this.
Yeah.
The games are really cool. You guys all know the drill. If you can pay whatever you want, you can donate some of the money to the EFF, which is a great way to go. You can donate some of the money to Child's Play, also a great way to go.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
That's all great. I don't want to talk about that too much. The games are awesome. Honestly, it's worth it. Just go buy it for however much money you want to spend. But let's talk about the breakdown per platform again.
Once again, Brian, Linux comes in with a respectable lead of the most money given per purchase.
Here, I want to read these numbers off.
All right.
Average price paid by Windows users, $4.11.
Cheap. Oh, man. Oh, what a bunch of dirtbags, asshole. Cheap, yeah.
Average price paid by Mac users, $6.21.
I guess they got to save up for those iPods every
year,
Brian.
It's expensive to
and
buy a new...
And those MacBook Airs.
Yeah, well, you need a new iPad every year because every year is the year of that particular iPad, so you got to do that.
Yeah.
Average price paid by Linux users, $11.76. Let's think about that from the math point of view. That's almost twice what Mac users pay and almost three times what Windows users pay. Think about that. We are, if you look at the pie chart of total amount of money brought in, boom, we are roughly one quarter. We are one quarter.
It's powerful.
We are almost twice what Mac users have been able to pull in.
We may be small in our numbers, Brian, but we are mighty in our purchasing power.
Here's the great thing. That means that we're not small in the numbers either. Because if we were small in the numbers, even with our generosity, that wouldn't be possible.
Mm, yeah, because everybody would have to be given a significant amount to compete with the Mac and
for
the
third
users.
Time in a row, we have proven that Linux as a platform is a more viable gaming platform for commercial game developers than the Macintosh. For the third time in a row that they've done this Humble Bundle. Boom. Boom. And we've got, with this one, Trine, a really cool game.
I like this game, yeah.
This is making its Linux debut.
Which is exciting.
With this bundle.
It's a nice, you guys, I'll be honest with you, my soft spot for games is these side-scrollers.
Yeah.
It just takes me back, and this is a very visual, pretty side-scroller. I grabbed it last night. Runs great. Running great under Unity, which I'm a little worried about. At a 1080p resolution.
Glorious.
And a bunch of other great games on here. You know, you've
glorious.
Got... Besides Trine, there's also a few other new games in there that are making their debut, but very, very cool.
Trine was the one I was excited
about. Trine came out in 2009 by the company Frozen Bite, so they called it the Frozen Bite Bundle. And then, today, bro, at least with the Humble Bundle, it's making its Linux debut, which is awesome.
Awesome.
So you guys, go check this out. You can find it at humblebundle.com, and essentially you just get a bunch of really great games for the Linux desktop, but you also can choose to send some money to your favorite charity. By default, it'll go to the EFF and Child's Play. Which is both, in my opinion,
they're
too
both.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you can't exactly go wrong. You know, that's like saying that you love children and want to cure cancer and like freedom.
Well, even like with
these are all great things.
Even with the EFF, they sometimes have a few positions that I'm like,
but come on, they do good stuff.
But
yeah, totally. The EFF is rocking.
And if you've got a chance to play it, let us know what you think. I'm digging trying. I've only played with it for a few minutes. Oh, something else kind of interesting is they're giving you for some of these games licenses to play it on other platforms like OnLive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've over there on that desk, I've got a little OnLive micro console, which is a great way if you're a Linux user and you don't really want to spend money on an expensive graphics card, because honestly, sometimes it's just not worth it under Linux. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not always. Or you just don't have very good graphics.
Worth it.
Take a look at OnLive. It's a way to get video games to your computer streaming, and they've got a micro console now. You buy it through the Humble Indie Bundle, and you also get the OnLive version.
That's way cool.
Which is neat.
Way cool.
Right?
Way cool.
All right, B-Man. Now, this next story on the news docket is sort of an interesting development. We haven't talked a lot about LibreOffice because you and I have both just kind of been taking a wait-and-see-where-it-goes approach.
Yeah, I've started using LibreOffice exclusively now.
Well, yeah, it's
just based on principle.
It's becoming the de facto Linux desktop.
Almost office. Overnight, really, yeah, which is surprising.
I was very, very, very impressed with how quickly people changed direction.
Every distro, you know, from Fedora to Ubuntu, everyone's like, well, obviously we're going with LibreOffice.
So what do you think?
Boom.
What changes now? And here's what's happened is Oracle has come out with a rather brief press release saying, yeah,
very brief.
Here's what we're doing, guys. And this is a quote from the Oracle press release. Given the breadth of interest in a pre-personal productivity applications and the rapid evolution of personal computing technologies, really, Oracle? The rapid evolution of personal computing technologies? You mean like 15 years ago, Oracle? Anyways, given the rapid evolution of personal computing technologies, we believe that OpenOffice.org project would be best managed by an organization focused on serving that broad contingency of non-commercial basis. I.e., Oracle believes the best thing to happen with OpenOffice would be to handle it over to a community-based foundation.
Well, yeah, but that's what you said shouldn't be done, like, just a little while ago. Just like, I mean, we can count this in terms of days ago. This was not that long ago, guys.
Yeah.
You just decided it was that kind of more that way. It was more like, you know, Sun and the community. And you're like, no, it's mine. You took it. You ran home crying. And so everyone forked.
Right.
Rallied around LibreOffice.
Right.
Made OpenOffice.org obsolete. Overnight,
yep.
And now you're like, no, everyone use OpenOffice. It's yours anyway. Okay, now we don't trust you. Now we just don't trust you anymore.
No.
So why? What benefit do we have to ditch LibreOffice and go back to OpenOffice? What could we possibly get out of that?
And the other thing about it is LibreOffice already has this community board established. They've done this work that they're now saying, we're turning it over.
We're ready to rock and roll.
Libre's already there.
They're done.
Yeah.
So you know what? OpenOffice, screw you. We're done.
We've been there.
Yeah, seriously.
We've done that.
You screwed us over.
Yeah.
You screwed us over once, and we're done.
So do you think...
Just moved on.
Do you think... Here's what I would see happening. I think distributions that go after the focus that, like, say, Zandros would go after would continue now to use this OpenOffice.
I don't see why.
I think
what's the benefit?
Because there's some...
Other than trying to get in Oracle's good graces.
I think there's some distros that will go with the name brand regardless. Like, Zandros was so, early on, Zandros was so onto this that they even included the ability to run crossover Office. So you can run Microsoft Office
out of
the box.
Which is cool. And honestly, still has value.
Sure.
But honestly, I mean, really? Okay, what are the big differences between OpenOffice and LibreOffice right now? So far, the icons changed. That's really the only visible thing that you're noticing. But here's the thing. The icons in LibreOffice are nicer.
Yeah.
They look nicer.
Yeah.
So... Why? I mean, why? What benefit do you
have?
Maybe
somebody knows. I know we've got a few viewers out there who are participating in LibreOffice, and I would love to hear their thoughts.
Yeah.
Especially you, Mr. JZA, on Twitter. Let me know what you think.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know what you think about LibreOffice.
Yeah, I'd be curious. But honestly, I don't understand. I don't get it.
The chat room, you know, I'm interested. I was kind of monitoring the chat room as we talk about this, and obviously there's some people in here saying this and that about LibreOffice and, you know, like the 3Volt says it rocks, but I noticed quite a way as soon as we mentioned it, Adam Fusion, C Clang, and Maggio both threw in the chat room, just use LaTeX. That's really geeky.
That's so geeky, you guys. You guys are honestly mad props to you because I can't do it. Like I try every now and
but
then. I'm not going to do
it. But just
this.
Going off this chat room, they all seem to be on board with the LibreOffice direction or like something like KOffice. You know.
Oh, see, now KOffice, I dig.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, K-Write's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I like LibreOffice. I honestly, all my documents, for the most part, are LibreOffice.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so the next story on the news docket for this week, Brian. I know this is kind of interesting. We're having, you know, the last few weeks PR spin-up zone now. We're in that zone now with Ubuntu. And they did some usability testing results on the new Natty betas.
Yep.
Did you happen to catch this? I thought it was kind of funny.
Highly interesting.
First of all, it's awesome that Ubuntu and Canonical are doing this.
Big time awesome.
So, I mean, that's great.
Yep.
Some of the results are kind of funny. Some of the results make total sense. I'll just read a couple that LinuxWeekly.net decided to point out because I thought these were pretty funny. Every participant who was asked understood most of the launcher items in Unity. Participant 7 and participant 11 thought that LibreOffice Calc was just a calculator.
It does look like it's just a calculator.
Totally fair. Totally fair. It is. It looks like, yeah, it kind of looks like a spreadsheet icon.
It looks like a calculator.
It kind of looks like a calculator, yeah. Participant 7 and 9 thought the Ubuntu Software Center was the recycle bin. And I kind of could see that after they said that. Yeah. I never made that mistake.
I never did either, but once I read that, I'm like, it kind of does.
Yeah. And they said that nobody understood Ubuntu One. And I think that's fair. How are you going to get how do you get Ubuntu One in an icon or even the first application that opens?
Yeah, that's a hard one, because I mean, really, Ubuntu One is just an overall brand for a set of services. So I mean, how do you explain that one? I get that
Ubuntu One's like one you're not going to discover until you've been using it a bit. But what was kind of interesting about this study, I thought, was that they were really targeting new users. In fact, I believe if you go, they have a link in here to the actual study mailing list. And all of the users were either Mac or Windows users, except for one who was already an Ubuntu user. So I thought the approach was kind of interesting. All of the testing was done on a Lenovo ThinkPad T41i.
So it was the same hardware, so that's good.
Running Natty, running Compass. So everybody had essentially the same software, the same hardware, and the same experience overall. So that's, that, you know, nice, good controls.
Very.
Later on in the mailing list, because I was just fascinated by this whole thing, I read the whole dang thread. Later on in the mailing list, they mentioned that, well, why aren't we testing existing Ubuntu users? Because we're going from a very traditional GNOME desktop to a completely redone user interface. Why are we not seeing how our existing user base is going to move over to that? Well, I thought so too. And I thought, to me, it seems to imply an implied bias towards generating and targeting only new users.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a very, very hard hill to battle, especially with a completely new desktop UI. It seems like, and I am just a dude on the internet, I've got no reason to feel this way other than just when I was thinking through
it. Dude, you have a camera and a microphone. You can have all sorts of crazy opinions.
And so I will. I really think with a new release of Unity like this, your primary focus needs to be selling your existing user base. Get them passionate about it. Show them that it's going to work. Have them identify what needs to be fixed, because they're the ones that are going to know where those gaps need to be bridged and where those usability differences are going to need to be met up and fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You get something like Unity 2.0, and then you really, really, really focus on those new users when you've got a product that is super polished. I don't think you want to go after the new users right now. Of course, you always want to attract new users, but you have to understand when you're making a massive shift like this, you're going to take a hit. You're going to take an immediate upfront hit in terms of adoption, and then that will eventually, you know, that gap, that difference will eventually sort of close up as you improve Unity and close some of those usability issues, in my opinion. What do you think, sir?
I both agree with you and think that you're totally, totally, totally wrong.
Well, that's fair.
And I'm going to save it for the GNOME 3 review.
Oh!
Because there's too much other stuff going on there.
All right.
I've got to save it because I'm going to be talking for a while. So, I think you make a really good point about traditional software development, but in this case, you're wrong.
All right. So I'd be curious to know if you got a chance to read the Unity test results and where you're at with it. Leave us a comment and let us know.
The other thing I thought was interesting is we're only a couple of weeks away from launch. A lot of crashy going on. That was actually my bigger takeaway, is I'm a little concerned about stability this close to launch of this major of a change.
I might have this wrong, and this is a big thing to get wrong, but I'm pretty sure I remember reading in that mailing list that at some point every test user experienced an application crash of some kind.
I don't remember if everyone did, but it was significant enough where it was like, oh, okay, that's a lot of crashing.
That's bad, yeah.
We'll get into it more later, but that makes me a little concerned.
That could be the version that they were testing on, too.
It could be the version. I've experienced some crashes myself, but it has been getting a lot better. Just in the last week, Unity has gotten so much more stable. So I'm very hopeful, but I'm a little nervous, and I'm sure the Unity team's pretty nervous themselves right now, trying to make sure they get a lot of those bugs quashed. So
that's kind of where I was coming from.
Good luck, guys, because you are going to be not sleeping for the next 2 weeks.
I know. It seems like they're going to have an uphill battle convincing existing users. I really think that, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe it's only new users they can attract.
I'm going to save it.
Okay. I was going to see if I could bait it out of you. All right, Brian. Well, that's all the news for this week.
It's a good try, though.
Well, Okay, everyone, grab your bowl of beans because we're going to talk about Gnome 3, and you need to fortify your gut for this one.
You need to fortify your gut.
With a bowl of beans, Brian.
With a bowl of beans.
All right, so I don't know exactly where to start with the Gnome 3.0 stuff. I'm going to say just a brief disclaimer, I've probably only been using it for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that's my initial impression time.
I've been running Gnome 3 on and off since late last fall, early last winter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've dipped in on and off. Yeah.
And I've been running it full-time the last week, and then before that was part-time for a couple of weeks before
that's about
so at this point, it's enough to have use it as my daily, day-to-day system.
Yeah, I've been driving it for a few. Actually, I just blew it off last night because I got to go back into Unity now to
really live the Ubuntu release is coming up.
But
yeah.
Until last night, I've been running it. So
here's the thing. Before we dive into the review of Gnome 3, I want to take a step back. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the Linux world right now.
Mm.
Regardless of what you think of Gnome 3 as a usable desktop experience, one thing we have to agree on right up front
Lay it on me.
Is that this is damned exciting.
Yeah, I do.
So here's the thing. I've got a lot of critiques and I've got a lot of pluses I want to talk about. But before I do, I want to make it clear to the GNOME team, to the rest of the internet world watching, this is incredibly exciting and the GNOME team should be incredibly proud of what they've accomplished with GNOME Shell and GNOME 3.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting and it is innovative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so is KDE 4.6. and Unity from the Ubuntu camp.
Right.
These are interesting, innovative, and truly new, in many respects, desktop experiences that are only happening in the Linux world.
And how ready were you, honestly, for some change up?
I mean, super excited.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just exciting.
It's just that it seems like, especially with tablets and touchscreen devices, it just kind of feels like the traditional Linux desktop, really just the traditional desktop, but the traditional Linux desktop kind of been sitting still since about 2008.
Well, now look at this. If you go ahead and pause the show in a second and go look up online, do a Google image search or Bing image search or whatever image search you want to do for macOS. Look at macOS from version 1 to the current version. It's essentially the same.
Yeah, like the dot colors will change, the menu bars.
The paradigms don't change. Very few things have changed. Look at Windows from version 1 all the way through the current.
Well, between
versions 3.1 and 95, there were some paradigm changes.
But the general nomenclature of just the way the operating system speaks to
it's
you and the way you interact
roughly
with
the
it.
Same.
Yeah.
And even since Windows 95, which was roughly 1995-ish, which has been a long time.
Yeah.
We're talking 16 years here.
Yeah.
The general, here's a start button in the lower left. Here's how the windows are managed. Here's your minimize, your maximize. Here's the tray along the bottom that has your currently running processes. Here's your alt tab switcher. Everything has stayed the same with minor spit and polish. The systems out there for Mac and for Windows have not been innovative.
Just wrap your brain around XP. Still the number one used Windows operating system.
Yes.
Released in 2001. Which means development's probably started in the late 90s.
Yes.
And
it's 2011.
Yeah.
2000 freaking damned 11.
So that is a major, major thing that just has not changed.
Right. So now, and we don't see anything that's really major coming from either camps.
No,
there are some changes happening in Windows 8 and very minor changes happening in the next Mac OS.
I would say that the general public opinion is now that those changes aren't going to come via desktop software.
They're on mobile devices and whatnot.
Yeah. They're going to become towards tablets and whatnot.
So,
I think I know where you're going with this. You're saying Gnome 3 just put their balls down on the table and they're saying we're embracing the desktop. We're going to innovate and change the desktop. It doesn't have to be the static thing that it's been for 15 years.
Right. And it's not, that's what's exciting. It's not just Gnome 3. If you don't like what's happening in Gnome 3, you've got Unity.
Yeah.
If you don't like what's happening in Unity, you've got KDE 4.
Yeah.
You've got three solutions.
You've even got E17.
E17 is great. You've got taking the desktop experience to the next level. And what is that next level? That's kind of a toss up. But it's exciting. It's new. It's different. And it's changing. And that is awesome.
It's great.
The only place that desktop computing and laptop computing is seeing a real bit of innovation, a real set of changes on the Linux side of things, and all of these camps, all of them, deserve a major pat on the back and applause for all of the work they're doing. That said.
Okay, so
Gnome 3.
In this big innovation change-up, B-Man, did they sacrifice too much? they cross the line.
I can't stand GNOME 3.
Whoa!
I can't use it. It's not for me.
Whoa!
But I love what they did. Now let's go down one by one by what I mean by that and why.
All right.
GNOME 3 to start with looks super slick.
Oh, dude!
It's hot. It's great. It's simple but not too simple. It's dark but not too dark.
The UI
it's
is great. Sex. The UI
it's
is real sex.
Glorious. They did an amazing job. I am super super impressed. I am proud of what they've done. And honestly, I know people that I can. That I can recommend this to.
Oh, sure.
This is a great solution, or at least the beginning of a great solution for many new users and many users who aren't pro users, who are comfortable with their computers, but maybe just want something that's a little cooler, a little newer, and maybe does have some usability improvements. So what are those usability improvements?
Well, I've got to say that the first thing that, we talked about before, and one of the first things as a regular desktop user you're going to notice is you don't really manage your application windows, and you don't launch applications in the same way you're used to launching them.
But you can.
You can.
Yeah. That's
not the emphasis, and they really want you to focus on they obviously are really trying to push the user towards use multiple desktops.
Right.
It feels like the one of the big messages of GNOME 3 is you gotta utilize your virtual workspace.
But that's the interesting part, and honestly, I think this is a great idea that I absolutely hate, is the way they've implemented the new virtual workspaces. The new virtual desktops are not predefined, so you don't currently have the ability to say, I want a 4x4 or 3x3 grid of desktops.
Right.
I'm a man of habit. I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
I have in my top left, I have my email. In my top middle, I have all my instant messaging. And in my top right, I have a web browser that I just use for, like loading up Gmail or whatever I'm doing that day.
Yep.
And then everything below it changes depending on what I'm doing. But I have those spots. I know. I control alt and my arrow keys. Boom, 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 boom. I know exactly what to hit and where to go to get to those desktops. In GNOME 3, that changes. Desktops are created on demand. What happens is the right-hand side of the screen is a virtual desktop bar. It's like a dashboard of virtual desktops. And when you start out, you have one desktop with one blank desktop. So as you create an application or open an application window, you will now have one new application available to you. And what's happening is you will always have one empty virtual desktop at the very bottom of your virtual desktop
bar. You can just kind of add stuff to.
As you add one new, let's say you've got something you want to throw into that new empty space, you have a video player or something, you drag it on over, drop it in that new bottom empty virtual desktop, and then boom, a new empty one slides down and is automatically created, which is really interesting in that you never have, if you have a 3x3 grid, that means you've got 9 virtual desktops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes I just want to check my email real quick. So it means I've got like 9 empty desktops.
You've
got
to travel across.
Right. Which for some users may be kind of confusing or daunting.
Like, so here it is here's comp is. And if I want to change virtual desktops, I just, and I can just tap, look, there's the BBS. If I want to play BBS, boom, back to my web browser.
That's how I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I don't think this is for me. This isn't what I want.
That's like one aspect. I mean, isn't that something you think you could just get used to?
I think so. I think that's something I could get used to. But there are additional things. So let's talk about the way you manage your windows directly.
Okay.
So there are no longer a minimize or maximize button.
Right.
Now, technically, in the way that they're pushing your window management, you don't need them. You don't need a minimize or maximize button. You just need a close button because your windows are always open. And if you need the ability to see more windows at once, you just create more virtual workspaces.
Virtual desktops,
you just keep dragging them to the right-hand side or reordering in the right-hand side list of virtual desktops, which, honestly, I don't minimize all that much. So I kind of get that.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. I don't minimize much because I just have I have 9 virtual desktops at home, and I usually am running, 9 to 12 applications, and it kind of works. I tile them all and it fits.
I agree.
So I'm okay with that. But that is going to be different and hard to hit for some people. Now, on the left-hand side of the screen is the dock.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call it a dock. They call it something else. But you know what? It's a dock.
It's an app launcher dock.
It's an app launcher or dock. It's like Docky or any other dock in this world. You add your favorite applications to it, and you launch them from it, and you see your running applications there, and you can click them to switch to them.
It does seem to be, you know, Unity is going the direction of a dock. A lot of third-party projects go the direction of a dock. It seems to be the dock.
Dock is popular. People like the dock. And I get that. You know,
you also get the application menu screen, which you can add stuff to the dock and...
Right. Well, things are a little different in GNOME 3 than you might be used to here. So in GNOME 2, you've got your panels. So you've got your oftentimes top and bottom panels, but you don't have to. You can put in, you know, as many panels as you want. Usually I just have one on the top or one on the bottom. But you can have two. And you can add whatever you want to those panels. Not in GNOME 3.
Okay.
GNOME 3 is an uneditable panel field. Now, or at least mostly uneditable. You can't simply fill it with launchers and the like. It is what it is,
right?
Which is nice from a design point of view. It looks good. It looks clean. So that's what it is.
You can't drag icons down to it?
Onto it?
I can in Unity, and I know I've been doing it in Unity last night.
No, that little, the little panel at the top there?
Oh, at the top.
Yeah, at the top. You can't do anything to that. So,
same in Unity.
So, yeah, it's the same with Unity. So that's a major change, and that changes my workflow significantly because I use the heck out of those.
I know. I have, like, Tomboy up there. I have my CPU. But see, in terms of GNOME 3, they just – applets are gone. Those little right-click, add an applet, they're not there. They're just –
they're gone. And I love those.
I know. Me too.
I even made an application that was one of those.
I love them too.
But if you look up in the screenshots and you look at the top there, what is there – is really classy
super
looking.
Slick.
They did a great job. Like everything from, you know, volumes to network settings to universal
accessibility. Just some of the accessibility. Most elegant looking visuals I've ever seen in a menu drop down.
Great
system.
Job.
And the way that stuff so beautifully ties in and looks so consistent with that notification system that GNOME has now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Great job.
Oh, now I know why Canonical and GNOME Project had a rift over notifications, because these are great.
They were going in different directions.
They were going in different directions, and I like this direction.
I don't know which I like better, but honestly, what GNOME 3 did is fantastic.
GNOME 3 feels like it belongs, like it was built, like the desktop environment was built to support these, and Ubuntu's are here today. They're functional. They've been here for a couple
forever,
of years.
Yeah.
But they just feel like Growl from OS X to me.
Yeah, kind of.
And I can't click them and then have the corresponding, like, when I get a DM on Twitter, empathy comes up and says, you've got a new message. I can't click on it and then have that message come up.
And have empathy pop up with the message,
right,
yeah.
Right, and that really bugs me.
Now, that's really more of a limitation of each individual application.
I understand.
Though. So,
bugs me.
So it's a real change in what's possible on the GNOME 3 desktop. Now, one of the features that they added was the ability to type to launch something.
Yeah, Unity's going this direction. KDE now has a search thing.
You know, one of my favorite applications is GnomeDo. I love GnomeDo.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's basically, you know, you hit a hotkey and you start typing and boom, you can launch what you want, running a set of pre-configured actions. GnomeDo is great. It's a
like
great way for a keyboard guy to really get going
on this.
It's
an application launcher that does 10x more than you'd ever expect.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So really, they've done away with the need for GnomeDo and are just building that functionality into the desktop itself.
Yeah.
So basically, you hit your super key, your Windows key, whatever it is on your keyboard, bang it, mm-hmm. and then boom, here you are at your favorites. You can just start typing, and it'll start automatically your text into a search field. That search field searches, well, anything that GNOME 3 is set up to search, which by default is essentially you're just searching through your applications.
Installed apps, yeah.
Yeah. Which is great for finding apps. Now, there's no menu for launching applications in the traditional sense. There's no, you click on a menu and you bring your drop down.
Go down to
the
internet category, then go click evolution.
And here's why that sucks so very much.
So bad.
So imagine right now, GNOME 2.x. You go, okay, I'm going to go for whatever my app launcher is. I'm going to go up to the menu, click. Okay, I want a game. I want to run, Sudoku. Boom. Click, click, click. Your mouse moves very little. You can use one single keyboard set of commands of the arrow keys to select it. However you select that application, it's super fast.
Yeah.
In the current GNOME 3 way, you can hit three way. Ha, 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 right?
Yeah,
you can hit the super key. Boom. You bring it up. Or you can click the little, what's it called?
The little menu bar button.
What's that up? Go scroll up so we can see the screen. I want to make sure I get it right.
Activities.
You click the activities button that doesn't look like a button. Basically, the top right hand of the screen. Or you take your mouse and you shove it up to the top right-hand corner or top left-hand corner, and it'll also bring
you get all
up.
Shovey with it, yeah.
You get shovey, and what happens is it brings up the activities view. Basically, all your applications fade out of view, and you have your launcher.
Which is a neat effect.
It's a nice effect.
Yeah.
Now, let's say you want to launch a game. By default, if your game is not one of your favorite applications in your dock, you're not going to see your game.
This is...
Now, here's what you got to do.
That's the thing for me right there.
Your mouse was just in the top left-hand corner of the screen. The list of categories is now on the
other side
right-hand screen.
Side.
So you've got to move your mouse all the way over, click on games. Now, once you've clicked on games, if you only have a couple of games installed, they're on the left-hand middle side of the screen. So you move your mouse over here to the left-hand side. And this is not doable through the keyboard.
And the
unless you type to find the name. You can't just use your arrow keys to move through menus.
Right.
You can't do that.
And there's the other thing that's an issue is during this period of application selection, it's what I like to call the iciest, diciest moment on the desktop, because any stray click or stray keyboard accidental touch completely undoes everything you're doing.
Everything.
So, you know, all it takes is you accidentally hit F and you've typed something else in the search filter
right.
and everything's gone. The other issue is... One of the largest problems on the Linux desktop is every single distro comes with a different set of default applications, and a lot of them name them different things.
Yeah.
So you don't even know all the time what you're looking for. For example, last night, before I blew away GNOME 3, I was just trying a few things, and I wanted to go change the system preferences. Do I search for system preferences? Do I search for control center?
Or system settings?
Or system settings.
Right.
And if I don't know and it's not in there in my favorites,
you're out of luck.
I'm out of luck.
You're out of luck.
Unity does the same thing.
Yep.
To me, this is a big no-no. Just give me my applications. Let me click.
Let me look at them. So I agree. I hate that. Now, you could make the argument of, come on, is it that hard to go click over here and then click over here and then click over here?
Well,
yes.
When you're at 1920 by 1080, it's big distance
to
travel.
It's actually kind of hard. Especially, what if you're on like that trackpad?
I am on a trackpad.
It's annoying.
Most of the time. It is.
So I've been using this predominantly on my touchscreen.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get a really good feeling of how this works on a touchscreen. Because honestly, that sort of UI... Well, it works better on a touchscreen. If you have it on my little Lenovo S10 3T, boom, I can click activities, click over here for categories, boom, open my application.
Sure.
It actually isn't very far to go for my finger. It's a long way to go for a mouse. It feels like GNOME 3 is much better at the touchscreen side of things than at a traditional desktop.
Well, it would make sense to sort of build the new desktop to support
to be touch-centric.
Yeah.
And... it seems that that's what they're doing. One good example is the new on-off button. It's basically a GNOME 3 replacement for the checkbox. Throughout their system settings, as you go through their system settings, and most of the major system settings panels have this now.
Right.
Instead of checkboxes, you'll see the traditional on-off slider widget that you'll see on a lot of phones. Android devices have it. iPhones have it.
They've got
it is a widget.
For using that.
It is a widget that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen, except unless you're using a touchscreen. On a touchscreen, it makes a lot of
it's
sense.
A toggle.
It feels really good. If you're using a mouse, it feels really stupid. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And the widget looks entirely different than everything else on the screen, and it's big, and it's clunky, and it doesn't line up right
because you
want
to be
anything.
Able to touch it.
It's wrong. It looks wrong. And in a system that looks so glorious as GNOME 3 looks, that one little thing throughout the system setting throws it off. It's a bad idea.
Can I say something
it's
that
there.
I hate to repeat? I mean, because Steve Jobs said it.
Okay.
But he said that thing where he said the tablet is the car and the PC is the truck. And I can kind of equate eventually one day, I really think, I mean, today I'm still commuting every single day in my truck. Because I need all the resources my truck has. But I could see in 3 to 5 years where the tablet, I could do 90% of my computing, except for when I need to sit down and edit or something, and then I need the PC.
Yeah.
And I believe that the desktop computer will always be serving those purposes. And I don't really know if I agree with the concept that we should be building it to be these amazing, amazing touch interface supported devices. Because to me, it seems like they're always going to be the radio of our era, and the tablet will be the TV of our era. And I use the radio differently than I use the TV. Yeah. They're both tools that I use at different times. I like them both, but they're not supposed to do the same job.
Right.
And I don't know why we're trying to cram peanut butter into our chocolate here. I mean, I love that, but I just don't know if it makes sense.
I demand the cram peanut butter into the chocolate.
I know.
I love peanut butter and chocolate.
A lot of times that makes a more tasty meal. I don't know if that's been proven yet that it's going to make this tasty.
But if you stick all of your peanut butter and chocolate together, you can't make a very good peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
And what if I want peanut butter and jelly for lunch?
You probably do.
The other thing, while we're griping just a little bit, is at first I thought this was just my installation of GNOME 3, because there's no way they would ship a desktop that does this.
You're talking about shutdown?
There's not a shutdown option in the menu. There's only suspend. You can only suspend your computer.
You know what? You know there is one.
Okay.
Okay, here's the ridiculous
thing. I got it to work by using my power button. I set up my power button so when I press the power button, it shuts down my computer.
Here's what you do, guys. You go ahead, you know, you click on your little, hi, it's me menu.
Yeah.
Go down, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's no shutdown. There's only suspend.
Right.
By default.
I got a video of it here, and I just thought, wow, so this is just.
No, that's really how it is. Really how it is. Here's how you get it.
Okay.
Hold down Alt. That suspend button seriously turns into a shutdown menu.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
That's fair.
They don't tell you that.
No.
They don't have a little icon next to it that says you can hit Alt now.
No, I went up and like, Google how to shut down GNOME 3 desktop. Nothing.
No.
Now, but this was new, so I probably just hadn't been out there
yet.
It
just hasn't been out there yet. Yes, you hold down Alt and the suspend changes to shutdown, or you log out and then there's a shutdown.
I would either log out or you can use power management settings to make your power button turn it off.
Here's the thing. So that to me is a minor quibble.
It's kind of weird, though. It's like, again, it's a weird assumption about the I guess what it is I feel like they're putting me in a usability box.
They're
determining what I'm using my computer for.
What they're saying is you don't shut down.
Yeah.
What they're saying is you go to sleep. You hibernate or you suspend.
Right.
That's what you do.
And I guess
now.
That's pretty bulletproof these days. I mean, I'm doing it.
It is. It's working.
I'm doing
well.
It on this laptop all the time
this
now.
This isn't the days of Linux Action Show Season 1 where suspending a laptop in Linux just didn't work. You couldn't quite wake it up and then everything broke.
Right.
Things work now. So
here's the thing, though.
So I'm okay
with
it.
But we spent... Remember how we spent the last 2 years making Linux boot faster? And remember how that's the big thing? And then remember how SSDs came out? And so now I've got like a 4-second boot time?
Yeah.
Turns out, Chris is okay with shutting down now. Because guess what else it does?
Save battery.
It closes all of my processes, saves battery life, and gives me a better performing computer when I turn it back on.
Yeah.
So guess what I do? I shut down now. So just in time for shutdown and boot up to be really awesome, you guys took it away!
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, great.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big, but it is a little thing. And it speaks a lot to GNOME 3 really being a 1.0 project. It is an unusually usable and polished 1.0.
It is freakishly polished for being 1.0.
It is, isn't it? I mean, I know it's GNOME 3, but come on. This is a 1.0, just like KDE 4 was a 1.0.
Yeah, they technically have been working on it since 2008, so I kind of would expect that.
Here's what I got to say. Comparing GNOME 3 to, say, KDE 4.6.
Well, the functionality is just not all there.
I'm going to have to say it's simply not fair,
KDE 4.6 does more than GNOME 2.3 does.
KDE 4.6 is a stellar piece of software.
KDE 4.6 is a Swiss Army knife.
Right. But here's the thing. You really have to compare GNOME 4.0. You really have to compare those two because that's the thing. But... that's not what GNOME 3 is competing against. If GNOME 3 came out when KDE 4 came out, it would be a fair fight. Right now, honestly, KDE 4 is so customizable through the Plasma widgets and what you can do on the desktop. It's so customizable.
And at this point, the 4 branch has been around so long, people are used
stable,
to it.
It's working great. It's faster and faster. It's infinitely more customizable.
Yeah.
I see very few reasons to go with GNOME 3 over anything else right now.
The aesthetics of GNOME 3 are pretty great.
I mean, stellar.
And here's the other thing that I was kind of thinking about is the primary things during my workday that I need is I need a Windows Remote Desktop client, I need a good SSH client, and I need a good web browser.
Yeah.
And I need Dropbox, and I need email.
Yeah, and you can get all that. And you can get all that on all of these systems.
For my day-to-day tasks.
It doesn't really matter what desktop environment you're using. So I have a hard time giving a final grade rating, a final review that says this is what... this is what I think of GNOME 3. I am not going to use it.
But look how well they're set up for GNOME 3.1. Like, all of this stuff we're really saying is like code tweaks.
Yeah.
And that is not a big hurdle to overcome.
No.
If people will buy off on the concepts.
No.
And then the other thing is you imagine when GNOME 3.1 is here or something like that, they're going to have a lot of these improvements and tweaks in. Plus, we're going to have a lot of new GTK applications written to the new GNOME 3 APIs. We're going to have a lot of new notification support. I mean, once the apps start embracing this new desktop, really, that could be what really pushes GNOME 3 into the next category.
Yeah.
Is maybe not so... Now you got your platform. Now let's build on that.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, it really could be. It's a great piece of software. It's a marvelous piece of tech. It's a fantastic piece of design from an aesthetics point of view. From a usability point of view, it has some great ideas, including basically infinitely expandable virtual desktop list, which is interesting. And come on, no other desktop's doing that. Really? I mean, really? That's a new thing.
Yeah.
I mean, can you name a place you're using that?
Because otherwise, you always have to hard set your...
You have to hard set it, yeah. I mean, OS X doesn't do it. Windows doesn't do it. No other Linux desktop I know of does it. This is really interesting.
Okay.
And there are a lot of things like that. The combination of the dock, the activities launcher that's typable, the virtual workspaces, the fact that you can type and not just launch an application, but other activities as well, from searching Wikipedia to doing whatever you want, is very, very cool and very interesting. It's been done before in other places. My little, my MAMO tablets have done things like that for a long time.
Yeah.
But having them all together is a uniquely interesting experience that there is nothing quite like it in the computer world currently. And that is exciting.
That is.
That is interesting. And I love that they're doing it. And I don't want me to say that I'm not going to use it and that I hate it, because I do.
The frustration maybe comes from that some of this stuff does feel like it's a step back in some ways.
Yeah, and I don't want the GNOME developers to come away with that saying, thinking that that's a dog on them at all. Because honestly, great work. And I want them to keep doing what they're doing and don't listen to me.
Well, maybe just a little bit, but just like the stuff that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I say don't. Because here's the thing. I'm a different user than I think you guys are going for.
I think that's what it is. But I'm worried. I don't want to be left out, man.
So this comes back to what you were talking about earlier. About the difference between a tablet or a PC.
Mm-hmm.
They're a different usability paradigm. And you use them for different things.
When I want my little more watered down experience, I kind of feel like...
I grab a tablet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Grab your phone, grab a tablet, whatever.
Because that is a device by its very nature that has built-in limitations.
Right. It's supposed to.
But on the desktop, it seems like the goal should be infinite, because we're always going to have the most processing power, the biggest abilities, the largest screens. You know, on my tablet, I can get at best a 10-inch screen. On my desktop, I can get as big as a
30-inch screen.
As much money as I can spend.
And put four of them next to each other.
As much money as I can do it. I can put four video cards in that effort if I get the right motherboard. And I can,
pull
more power than the whole neighborhood does combined. And that's what I want to have the option to do.
You probably do.
But you know what? And that's where I worry. They're taking that away. But at the same time, I think more and more, just like in KDE, they started with the baseline, and then they just started adding more things that make the power users happy.
Right. Right.
We'll see.
And there are a lot of options out there. You know, if you are looking, if you're a GNOME user, whether you're on Ubuntu or any other distro or OpenSUSE or something, and you're saying, you know what, my distro is going to Unity or GNOME 3, there are options out there. And if you don't like KDE 4, and you don't have to, it's great. It's a great piece of kit. If you don't like it, there are options. LXDE is a great desktop environment. You know, Enlightenment is a great desktop environment. There are many that are phenomenal that are going to be very easy for you to move to.
Here's a great, if you're watching the video version, what we have here is an example chat notification where it comes up integrated into the notification system, and you can just, how great is this? When that little notification comes up that somebody's talking to you, why not just click it and say, yeah, sounds good, click, enter. Why bring up a whole other application window where that steals focus?
Right.
And, I just boom, click. Yeah, sounds good, Brian. I'll bring the beer, enter, and we're done.
Yep.
I think that's money.
I think it's great.
There's little time saver tweaks like that that combined with some of the more power user type features that I want, once all of that gets mushed into one delicious apple pie that is the GNOME 3 desktop, I'm probably going to eat a huge slice of that pie, put it in my new wave to heat it up, and then put a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream on top and enjoy it. That's my plan.
Is that's your plan?
But I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not there yet either. And I'm looking at all the new releases coming up, and I'm a little concerned about what it is that I'm going to be running the whole time.
That's where I'm at, too. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do for a year while this stuff gets worked out?
We'll be talking about this a lot more in the next 2 weeks as the new Ubuntu is released. Because my system's at home. I have a little Arch machine over here that runs my BBS server.
Adorable.
But I don't really use that box.
No.
You know what I mean?
It's a command line box, right?
I SSH into it.
Do you even have a GUI running on it?
Yeah, I totally do.
Do you do?
There's no reason to have a GUI on it, but I do.
Okay.
Why not? Come on, I'm a nerd, man. I honestly, it's a really great GUI. I'll have to take some pictures sometime.
Dude, bring it in sometime and we could do a little SSH.
No, because then I have to take it offline.
Oh, that's true.
You know, but we could VNC into it or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is really stupid also. And then I have my Ubuntu system and I have my OpenSUSE system.
There you go.
And I love my systems. I have them set up really well. I've gotten so good at tweaking OpenSUSE and Ubuntu over the years, and they're both mostly in GNOME. I don't use KDE all that much. It's not as much as I'd like. That I've gotten so good at it that I can make it look just how I want it.
Yeah.
It works just how I want it.
Well, don't you figure that's just where you're going to hang? You're just going to hang in OpenSUSE or GNOME or something?
I think that's what I'm going to be doing is for at least a while, I'm going to be hanging back and using these old systems.
Yeah.
Now, there are fallbacks. Like Ubuntu with their Unity, they have more of a classic desktop mode you can fall back to. But the thing is, it's not a full classic desktop. It's very similar to what you're used to, but it's different. The same is really happening in GNOME 3. You can kind of fall back, but it's still... Things aren't quite the same as they were. Now, that may sound a little bit like an old man telling the kids to get off my lawn and being kind of curmudgeon-y.
I was making that joke on the live stream before we went live. It's like, I don't want to come on the show and just feel like I'm yelling at everybody to get off my lawn here.
Right.
But I do feel like the world's changing around me, and I'm not totally ready for that whole world to change yet.
That's why I say... Don't listen to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to review I'm going to review Unity when it comes out, and I'll be straightforward about that one. Then KDE 4.7 comes out, I'm going to do the same thing. I don't know that it's going to be what I'm going to be running, and I don't know that the teams really should listen to me all that much, because they're trying to do something new. They've got their own ideas.
Yeah.
They're obviously not there yet.
No.
Unity and GNOME 3 are 1.0 releases.
Yeah.
They're not going to have all the ideas baked in.
Right.
And I should let them... Really give it their all. I want to see where they're going.
See where they can take it if they're given the chance.
And then when they hit a point, let's say a year and a half from now, GNOME 3 and Unity are like, okay, so what do we do next? At that point,
then you're like,
I'm going to be like, okay.
Brian has an idea.
So this is where you guys are at. You're all wrong.
Yeah.
Now you need to listen to me and everything I say.
Give them time to get it out.
But this is their time. And this is their time to do something exciting. And for Redmond and Cupertino to look up there and go, whoa. Whoa. Not only is Linux coming out with one interesting kind of couple of ideas on the desktop, they've got three major competing desktop environments that are totally different than each other, and they have amazing features in and of themselves that blow what we have away.
Can I wrap the review on a question for you? Because I was just struck by my original first thought when I saw both Unity and screenshots in GNOME 3. I remember one of my first things I said was, this seems like a netbook UI for a generation of computers where the netbook is dying.
Yeah.
After using it, do you feel like GNOME 3 is a netbook UI?
No, I feel like it's a tablet UI. It's for touchscreens.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a tablet UI.
It does not seem like a netbook UI. It seems like a tablet UI that's sort of bridging that desktop
gap
still.
It's a better tablet UI than the iPad, iOS, or Android offers currently.
Whoa.
I mean, if you think about it in that point of view, it works phenomenally. I wish I should have brought my Lenovo today.
Interesting.
Because it's interesting. So my Lenovo kind of converts from a netbook into a tablet with a multi-touch screen. The usability from a pure touchscreen perspective is incredibly good, because in a tablet, you want to be able to multitask well. You want to be able to see all of your running applications, but you need them out of the way. The way window management works in GNOME 3 fits perfectly in that, far better than what Android does or iOS does. This is an amazing tablet experience. It may not be perfect. Certain, like the close buttons are a little too small sometimes, and there needs to be tweaks. But it's so close, so much closer than what the competitors are offering, and that's interesting.
The chat room seems to be, you know, pretty mixed through. I'm reading their different takes on it. I guess when I, you know, it seems like maybe we put the we built this amazing buggy, but we don't have a horse to pull it. Like, we don't have a great open tablet that we could just load an x86 or an ARM-based Linux OS on and just install any desktop we want.
There's a couple. The Asus has two, but they don't sell all that well. And then there's the Lenovo tablet.
But can I stick, like, a USB thumb drive and just boot off that and load?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Because I guess if you do it, like, on the Lenovo's, you could.
Yeah.
But I want something that's, like, the iPad or the Zoom. Maybe it's thinner than the Zoom.
I think actually, Chatroom just said the word Arcos. I think Arcos has a tablet netbook combo device that you could do as
like,
well.
They seem like the guys
who
would.
So Arcos, Lenovo, I mean, everyone else. I mean, for nerds to, you know, decide to buy it and use OpenSUSE or Ubuntu or what have you on these devices with GNOME 3, it actually makes a certain amount of sense.
It seems without question you'd want to use GNOME 3 as your UI.
It works much better than GNOME 2.
Hmm.
So, I mean, there is that. Now, I've also been using the same touchscreen experience with Unity, and I'm going to be moving starting tomorrow to Unity and 1104 full-time on that touchscreen.
Interesting,
and we will see how that runs leading up to release as both a tablet and a touchscreen netbook. All right, so we'll see.
All right. Hey, you know what, B-Man?
So, yeah. So, there you go. There is an incredibly mixed review. If you are a nerd...
Yeah.
Which,
check it out. Like, go check it out, you guys. Because
if you're an audience member of this show, come on. You're the biggest nerd on the planet.
We'll try to throw in some links to a Fedora-based live CD and an OpenSUSE-based live CD if you want to check it out. Last week, I included notes to how to get GNOME 3 running on your Ubuntu desktop with a PPA. So
super easy.
There you go. So we'll have Fedora easy? Option, OpenSUSE option, and last week we had an Ubuntu option.
It's painless. It's easy. It's worth trying out because it's interesting, and then you'll be able to talk about it with your non-Linux friends and show them, at the very least, Linux is way more innovative, way more revolutionary than anything that's happening over in the Mac or Windows camps.
There you
and
have it.
That's pretty exciting.
Hey, B-Man, we've got like $1,000 plus worth of software to give away, so we should just
jump
over.
Holy moly.
I say we put a cap here on the GNOME 3 review. Of course, we want to hear your feedback. There's a few ways you can do that. You can go over to jupitercolony.com and start up a thread in there if you like. Also, you can just leave a comment anywhere you are listening or watching to this episode. And of course, we do have the email address, linuxactionshow.com at jupiterbroadcasting.com. Well, linuxactionshow.com is a website, Brian.
.com.
But for an email address...
Chris.
Yeah?
Is there or is there not a .com?
Yeah. Well, there's a good... There's definitely .com, Brian. I mean, there's a .com for sure. But you see, you got a website.
Fist bump.
All right.
Boom. .com.
All right, Brian. That's our look at GNOME 3. Okay, are you ready, Brian? Let's give away some software.
All righty. So before I want to give away software, I want to say you guys did great. The contest was you had to go on Twitter, you had to compliment us in some way, which not all of you did, but those of you that did awesome.
Wait, who didn't? I got to go kick some butt. Are you serious?
I'm not gonna name names here.
Did you see how worked up I am?
But here's the thing. If you didn't compliment us directly, I'm not disqualifying you.
Oh.
I'm just not as happy. Oh, I'm displeased.
Can I read a couple of my favorites?
You can. You can. All right.
Now, so like you said, the contest was hit us up on Twitter, compliment us, include a link, and a hashtag Jupiter.
And you get entered into a random drawing, one for Real Studio Personal Edition for Linux, and one for Real Studio Enterprise Edition, which costs like $1,000.
That's pretty awesome. So Sophie the Great wrote in and said, I love the way these guys hate on Fedora. JupiterBroadcasting.com.
I really liked that one a lot.
Jimmy writes in to let us know his four-month-old loves the Linux Action Show, but can I jump down to one of my favorite?
Yeah, later on.
Grunko wrote in and said, at Brian Lunduke has the prettiest eyes.
I sure do. I also quite like this one. Gourmet Army says, Lass on Sunday is like basil on tomatoes. I like both basil and tomatoes.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know if I understand that one.
We also got one here about hard nipples. I think I'm just going to skip over the hard nipples.
Linux Action Show makes my nipples hard, nom, nom, nom.
Can I give you my two favorite? Here's the two. One is because it gives us a little love to a larger podcasting network. The Robot Dave, great name. Robot Dave not only managed to get an awesome tweet in, but managed to RT Ace Detect. That's Tom Merritt over at the Twit Network. He said, Who are the best tech journalists? These guys, and at Brian Lunduk and at Chris Elias are in there. Forgiven that there's not a hashtag Jupiter.
Yeah, yeah. I'm entering you in the contest anyway, young man.
But here's I think maybe my favorite one. This is wrote in by Torn One or something like that. He says, and just hashtag Jupiter right at the beginning of the freaking tweet, you know, which is bold. He says, the Linux Action Show rocks so hard that they could eat a Rubik's Cube and poop it out solved.
Boom.
JupiterBroadcasting.com.
I couldn't agree more about that one.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones. The Wheat says, first time watching the video version of Linux Action Show, getting full effect of Brian Lunduk's awesomeness! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Chris Lass is great too.
Chris is okay.
Yeah. He's okay. There was actually one or two of that because I think I made some sort of joke about say how awesome I am. Chris is all right. You can say it. And so a lot of people were like, man, Brian's awesome.
They followed instructions to the letter.
There was one of them that's like, and Chris wears a nice shirt.
Yeah.
I often do.
Thank you.
So here we go. Here's how we're going to do this.
Just pick one of these efforts to give away.
We're going to randomize this. I've got the list of names over here on the screen. I'm going to use my scroll wheel. Okay. Scroll up and down, scroll up and down, scroll up and down, scroll up and down.
All over the place.
And here's what I'm going to do. Whoa. I'm going to click, and then I'm going to hit up and down a random number of times. How many times am I hitting up?
You're hitting up like 1,000 times, man. I've lost.
Okay.
That list is falling by like crazy.
No, I mean on the keyboard.
Oh.
Up arrow key. How many times am I hitting?
You haven't hit it yet.
How many times will I?
Oh.
You get to decide.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, that way it's impartial.
Okay, all right. Let's go 7.
Okay, I hit up 7 times and down how many times?
2.
Okay, so really it's just hitting up 5 times.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Click. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right.
Well, you know, you went 4. I said 5.
Well, if I hit up 5, it's nobody. There's a space right there.
Oh, okay.
So
that's fair.
It's right in the middle. Do we go up or down? Round up or round down?
Let's round up.
All right. Tor in T0R1N, you win the Real Studio Personal Edition for Linux.
Whoa.
Go ahead and message us. How do you want to get a hold of us? Email us.
Why don't you have him DM you on Twitter?
Direct message me on Twitter, Torin. That'll work great.
Hey, Brian?
Yeah.
What should I direct message?
Me.
Your what?
On Twitter.
Your titter?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I said titter.
All right, here we go. Here's the big one.
This is the big ticket.
For Enterprise, here
How
we go.
How much is this worth?
That's like $1 million.
No, it's like $1,000.
It's like $1,000.
It's like $1,000 just by itself.
It's fantastic. All right. And wait, how many times am I hitting up?
2 times up, 3 times down.
So down once. Got it.
Yeah.
And click down.
The Wheat,
who says that he got the full effect of my awesomeness.
That was the first time watching, and he says, I'm okay, too. Oh, he says, I'm great, too.
Chris is great, too, but whatever. There's not an exclamation point after that. The Wheat, you win Real Studio Enterprise Edition. Go ahead and direct message me on Twitter. I'll get you hooked up with all the information you need.
I think we got to do our new tradition. I'm going to give him a standing stomach clap. Yep. Congratulations, everyone. Congratulations. You won. So that was fun.
That was great. I love giving away stuff.
Now, I think that's just about all we have in this week's episode of the Linux Action Show. It was a pretty big show.
It better be, because I'm pooped.
And then next week, we've got one more in studio before we're live on location at the Linux Fest. Anything else we wanted to mention to the peeps?
Gosh, I don't really think so. That's all I've got. It's a pretty exciting time, but I'd love to hear your GNOME 3 thoughts. I'd love to hear your Unity thoughts.
Yes.
I would like to hear your thoughts about how the entire desktop sphere is heating up. So go over to JupiterCalling.com.
Let us know.
Discuss in there, because obviously we're just two guys.
And I wonder if you out there are also feeling sort of left behind maybe a little, or is that just something that we're just kind of experiencing?
Or are you really excited? Do you really like the way everything is going?
That would be the interesting side to
it,
too.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
I want to know. So go to the Colony. That's the place to talk about it, because then it's on the internet for everyone to see, and we all love that. Now, there's been all sorts of excitement going on in the world. You probably haven't bought an Illumination Software Creator yet.
What?
If you haven't bought it yet.
How could they not have?
Well, if they haven't bought it yet, they haven't bought it yet.
Oh, okay.
Some of them have bought it.
Why should I buy it? Anything new?
Because it's awesome. So there's lots of great stuff going on. 3.1 version has already been out. It's out for the Ubuntu software store. It's up in the Mac App Store, too.
Oh.
But come on.
But you probably
don't buy it there. Go to the website and buy it. It's like $1 more expensive on the website, but you get the Linux and Windows version, too. Dude, that's fantastic, because you probably should, because it supports this guy.
You can make software with blocks. That's all you got to say.
Software with colorful blocks. It's like Legos.
It's like connect the dots for software.
But I shouldn't say that because Lego could sue me or something. It's like Mega Blocks.
It's like construction blocks.
It's like colorful plastic construction blocks that we all remember as a child but are not talking about the brand name of.
Right.
For building software. And that's fantastic.
I like that.
Oh, but yeah, we're adding in a bunch of stuff for building games in the next release.
Oh, like what? Yeah. Like stuff like you know?
Like building games. Visual, like video awesome games.
What's crazy about that is if you could make it so you could build a game in Illumination, then if I'm following you, you've just made a game that works on Mac, Windows, Linux, and portable devices.
Yeah, and iPads, iPhones, Android devices, and MAMO smartphones, and N900s.
So desktops and portable devices, boom.
Like every device that matters.
Hot.
Yeah, right?
That's going to be crazy.
Hot, right?
Yes.
Right?
All right, man.
Right?
That's cool.
Anyway, so that's pretty exciting. So if you're interested, go over to RadicalBreeze.com. There's also a forum there if you want to participate in the forum. All sorts of good stuff.
Yeah.
I like promoing myself.
Understandable.
So there you go. That's all I got for that. But seriously, Linux Fest Northwest, Bellingham, Washington, 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from yesterday is the start of it.
Yeah.
If you're watching this on Sunday.
Yeah, they're probably not.
They're rushing it sometime during the week. You're going to have to do your own math as to how far out it is, because I can't do that for you.
No.
I can't do
it. For all we know, you're traveling at the speed of light, and that completely throws off the calculation anyways, and it's almost impossible for us to factor that.
Impossible!
Right?
Impossible.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Linux Action Show. We come out every Sunday over at JupiterBroadcasting.com, and we invite you to subscribe to one of our mini feeds to get it in the various formats that you like, so you get this epic amazing when it's fresh.
Right? When it's fresh.
Fresh off the editor.
Fresh.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for watching this week, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. Every day.
Whoa, mouse flying all over the screen.
Holy moly. How did that happen?
It's so crazy.
Yee-hoo.
Full action.
Yee-hoo. Let's rock and roll.